Take a little walk to the edge of town and go across the track where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks, where secrets lie in the border spines and the humming wise. Hey man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, across the mills, past the stacks, on a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Hey everybody, welcome to Scaredy Cats here on the Everything Unscripted Network. I'm one of your co-hosts, Daniel Hubbard.
And hi, I'm the second co-host, Mindy.
Welcome everybody. We got a big one tonight. We're going to be doing the Evil Bong. Kind of the So Stupid It's Funny movie in spirit of April, and you know, for our friends that like to indulge, 420's coming up, so this one's for you too. We got a lot going on. The Evil Bong we're doing tonight. Next week we're going to be doing Final Destination 3. You got the announcement here. We're going to be putting up more in the group, Facebook group we got. I just started an Instagram page for Everything Unscripted, so we're going to be putting updates there for Scaredy Cats too. And everything along with that, make sure to check out Unscripted Wrestling at 6:30 p.m. on Friday, where we do our thing, the boys. And make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes, Boxman and Smark, every Wednesday and Friday after AEW on Wednesday and after SmackDown on Friday. And, of course, make sure to check us out here usually every 3 p.m. For Scaredy Cats on Sundays. And in 2 weeks, Mindy's going to be doing a solo. We're going to be having the weekend off. None of us are doing a show except for Mindy and Scaredy Cats. What are you going to be doing, Mindy?
We're going to be doubling into the history of Candyman, actually. I think it's only appropriate. Candyman, number one, is my favorite movie. Anyone that knows me knows that that was the very first horror movie that my father had me watch. I know a lot of people, as soon as I said that, are like, wait, she's 31. Yes, people, I was 2 when I watched it. But it was amazing, and I loved it, and I love the story. I love the history, so we're going to double back in there and go over a lot of really neat stuff. It should be a really, really interesting time.
Absolutely.
I'm excited.
Absolutely. Last thing, next Saturday, me and Eric will be doing our preview for the Jake Paul-Ben Askren fight. It's going to be a big money fight, celebrity YouTube against a UFC fighter, and we're going to be covering that. Hopefully this douchebag gets his ass kicked.
I hope so.
That's what we're all hopefully looking forward to. We're going to be previewing that.
And if you are Jake Porter, we apologize.
Yeah, I don't know what went wrong with you, but I'm sorry. But now getting on to what we got today, Mindy, Evil Bong. Give the people some context. We saw this a couple years ago after a night at the fair. We loved it. Obviously, it's not, you know, the greatest plot of all time or something that's
no
hook people in. But
it's definitely not your typical horror movie. Not a slasher. It's actually a horror comedy with a little bit of supernatural.
Yeah.
In there, Tommy Chong is basically the front runner, even though you don't see him until like the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
And he just kind of shows up. He's like, do you have my bong? That's my bong. And they're like, wait a minute, I thought you were deceased. And he's like, oh no, that's my wife. She's just hopefully wishing. And it's like, oh my God, what the hell? But it starts off with a nerdy kid. Well, actually starts off with a Jesus head smoking a joint. And then it starts off with a boy named Al something. And
Alistair.
I apologize, guys.
Very good.
And Alistair was looking for a room to rent. And he found out that this one guy on campus had a room to rent named Barnell. So he checked it out, went in, and Barnell's like, yeah, it's $40 a week. So, of course, Alistair handed him his money immediately, and then he's like, wait a minute, where's my room? And Barnell's like, oh, this is your room. This is your space.
Yeah.
This is everybody's space. This is communal. And then we are introduced to my favorite character in the Evil Bong, guys, Mr. Bachman.
Bachman.
I love Bachman. I'm really upset that he didn't get more screen time. I love him so much, especially when you first meet him, because he gets a shoe thrown at his face. Because he is asleep.
Yeah.
And they're like, Bach, Bach, Bach. And they threw a shoe at the man's face. And he woke up and he said, monkey.
Monkey.
He did not
monkey.
Scream.
Yeah.
He did not get mad. Nothing.
Just said monkey.
Then we are introduced to Brett.
Brett, the other main character.
The
I would say that's our four.
Character. I would say that is our main four. Brett, he seems to always have his hands down his pants. I don't really know what that's about. Maybe he's afraid that he's going to walk away. I don't know. But I will have to say, guys, this young man, this actor, has the most facial expression in like an hour and a half than you could ever have in your whole entire life. Like, the facial expressions that come from this guy, it is ridiculous. I mean, it makes it that much funnier, but it's ridiculous. And then you carry on, and you get to see the girlfriends, and a girl like Alistair, and like throughout the movie, Alistair and Brett actually become really close.
Yeah, that's
like,
kind of the only genuine connection, besides having the girl a little bit.
Exactly. Like, Brett, like, really, really tries to, like, help him.
Yeah.
Because he says something about wanting to be with the ladies when he first meets them. So he, Brett, like, tries to take him underneath his wing.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I liked that. That was pretty cool.
Well, yeah, because in a movie like this, you're not really expecting, like, connections.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're not
anyone...
expecting your characters to have any depth. Even Barnell, he had...
Barnell, by the way.
He had the grandfather that had a backstory. He had a backstory. I feel like everyone had a story except for Bachman.
Yeah, Bachman
was
kind of...
And I think that's why they let go of him so quickly.
Yeah. Well, he was just the stoner throwaway, and he was kind of like what set the stone. Like, Larnell was a huge stoner, but Bachman was the guy. Like, he was the one guy that we all know in the friend group that he's just, like, the chill stoner guy, and he doesn't do much besides that. So when they got rid of like, he's, like, the ideal first one to go, right? Even though, I mean, this is a horror movie where everybody lives at the end anyway, so.
Yeah. Well, they see this, Larnell gets a High Times magazine and sees a advertisement for this mystical supernatural bomb. And it's said to give killer rips. And he looks at Bachman, gives him the magazine, and Bachman says, we gotta have this. You know what's missing in this apartment? A killer bong. And it's just, it's great. And also, I do have to say one thing. I hate directors and cinematographers that try to fuck with me, right? So there's a beginning scene in the movie. My brother knows exactly where I'm going here. There's a beginning scene in the movie where Brett finds a seashell on his statues. Well, on his wedge, on his statue shelf or whatever. And he picks it up. Bachman tells him it's from his trip to Maui. Brett throws it at him. And breaks Bachman's cereal bowl that he's eating out of. Then, all of a sudden, Bachman has another bowl that's completely the same exact thing, and he's pouring cereal into it again. Okay, don't... She broke the bowl.
Yeah.
He threw the seashell at the bowl.
I mean, for a direct-to-DVD kind of film, you especially this was like, what, 2006?
Yeah.
This does not take itself seriously, so a small editorial thing like that, I'm okay with. You know, it happens.
Yeah. I will say, though, the best part of that scene, though, was when Boston picked up the seashell, put it up to his ear, and he said, "Man, Brett, you broke it. I can't even hear the ocean anymore." So, yeah, I will say that was a pretty funny scene. But they get the bong, and as soon as they start to rip it, Mr. Bobman wakes up and says monkey and comes over and smokes it and whatnot. And they discuss how the bong is amazing. Now, Brett doesn't really feel that way. And Bachman is like, there's no such thing as a bad high, just like there's no such thing as a bad blowjob. And Brett's like, oh, yeah, there is. And he's like, example, bro. And he's like, do you remember this chick from the from back when? And she basically gnawed on his thing like a baby goat,
yeah,
he said. And Bachman was like, oh, wow, poor goat. So, yes. Honestly, it was very comical.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't meant to be taken seriously at all.
I mean,
and some people love it.
Yeah.
And some people hate it. Some people feel like me and you do. It's good for a laugh.
Yeah, it's a funny type movie. I mean, because technically you can label this as a horror movie, and that's why we're putting it on our horror show. Would you say that you got any legitimate scares out of this? So was there any creepy parts to it for you?
The shark boobs. That was a little intense.
Okay.
That was a little, I mean, like the skulls I expected.
Yeah.
The sharks I really didn't.
Yeah.
So it was, but
I mean,
honestly, there's really nothing that scary about it.
No.
Like, if you're one of those people that are like really, really easily scared, but you still want to watch a horror movie, watch this.
Yeah.
Because you'll appreciate this. It's very comedic.
Yeah, it's a funny movie. I will say one scene, because to me, like, the bong world or whatever, where they go, when everything, that's not scary. And the strip club, it's not, like, scary. I don't know if it's even supposed to be scary, but that is what it is. To me, the only legitimate scene that I thought could get, there was a little creepy vibe to it, was when the delivery guy brought the bong. And he just has such a creepy delivery. He reminded me of Crazy Ralph from the Friday the 13th movies. Just the way he acted, and Larnell and the nerdy kid, Alistair, even, like, played it up a little bit. Even though Larnell's like a stupid stoner, like, everything in that scene is like, this is kind of creepy. Like, he's delivering this, and this bong's probably going to fuck them up. Like, in more ways than one. And to me, that one scene was done really well. Like, the way, like, the chemistry they all had together. It's like, this is actually kind of creepy.
That's totally... he's like, this is the package you've been waiting for.
Yeah.
And he's like, and then the weird guy's like, yes, the package you've been reading. And it's like, that's freaky. Does he know? And then he's like, I didn't open no box. You get fired if you open the boxes. Okay.
Yeah, then he needs money to pay for it. Lionel is one of those fucking mooch assholes that keeps taking money from Al.
And then Al finds out from Brett that he's actually comes from a lot of money.
Yeah.
He's severely irresponsible.
Yeah. And that's another thing that kind of builds towards Brett and Alistair's, like, relationship, because Brett even tells him, like, watch out giving him money. Dude. He's not, like, I feel Brett, like, you mentioned it, and it made me, and that was, to me, that was the only relationship that was, like, genuine in this movie, the way he does look out for Alistair. He does want to make sure he's, even though he's a douchebag, and Brett's supposed to be a douchebag, I ended up liking him more than I thought I would.
Exactly, and a really big thing of this, people, is, like, normally when you have somebody, like, change another person and exclamation points to make them, like, more attractive or anything and whatnot, normally they're, like, it's, like, a really drastic change. But Brett really didn't do anything like that with him.
No, he was just helping, like, giving him some advice.
He just gave him a little advice and told him to wear his nicest outfit. And was like, all right, at least it doesn't have a pocket protector. her on it. So we got it. I mean, but he was genuine to him, and he let Alistair stay genuine. And he was one of the only guys that actually learned Alistair's real name, because everyone else called him Al, and it drove him nuts.
Yeah, and he becomes a little bit of a better person, and I think Brett's the only instance that we get of character development in this movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Where he starts out in one place and he kind of gets to another place where he's a little better of a person.
He gets very humble.
Yeah. You see that a little more. Another scene I wanted to bring up, since we're kind of jump around a little bit. I got to find the girl who plays his girl, Luann. That would be Robin Sidney.
Oh, no, you're going to bring up the pogo stick.
Robin Sidney, good for this young lady, because she's been in some movies. She was in the Ginger Dead Man, too, so she's done a lot. She was in the Evil Bong, too. She's a mainstay of the Evil Bong franchise. So, and you can tell she's dedicated to these movies, because, I mean, as a young man, I've seen a lot of excited young women in my lifetime. But this young woman, oh, my God, did she want to get yiggities, as we call it. Because she was so excited, and she's dancing, and she's, like, jumping up and down, and, like, giving to, like,
she
screaming.
She was on a pogo stick, people.
I don't think I've seen a more fierce woman in my life. And Brett's sitting there, like, falling asleep because he's so stoned, and she's, like, shaking him and shit.
And she's like, I'm so horny. I'm so horny.
That was like they're doing too much, but I could not stop laughing during that scene. I found it so funny.
It was great. I mean, hats off to her, too, because that's got to be really hard.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, at one point, she was, like, tapping while she was on the pogo stick, so she didn't even have her hands on the handlebars. And she was just as high as everyone else.
Yeah.
So that's impressive.
Yeah, and she was, like, she overacted so well and just had so much fun with it.
And she,
like,
humped his leg on the door.
Yeah. Like, you can tell they were telling her, like, go, like, really, like, act like you really want him and just have fun with it. She's like, okay. She's, like, jumping around and fucking.
Yeah, this is honestly one of the most over-exasperated scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
Very over the top, but I wouldn't change it for the world.
No, it's so funny. It's so stupid that it's funny. And then you got Alistair and his girl just looking at him, like, laughing. Slowly.
Yeah, because, guys, you got to understand, this house or apartment or whatever, it only has one room. So they're all in the same room.
Yeah.
At the same time, all the time. So she was doing this in front of people.
Yeah. Two friends.
She had no shit given either. She's like, I'm good. I want to jump on pogo stick and get some yiggies.
And a deceased Larnell, by the way. Larnell was sitting on the couch with no life in his body. He was technically dead. And she's doing this in front of him. So it was creepy on more than one level.
Yeah, it was a little bit, because honestly, when she was jumping on the pogo stick, she came really, really close to Larnell. So I thought she was going to, like, fall off and, like, fall into him.
Yeah. Now,
but she didn't.
On this show so far, we've talked about some sincerely iconic horror movie villains, from the Michaels to the Jasons to the Freddies. Where does the evil Bong rank up with that? Because the Bong is the villain here. The
yeah.
Bong's an evil presence.
Her name is Evie.
Yeah. And she shows up a lot to the franchise, because this is a franchise. It might be direct to DVD, but it's still a franchise. What do you think about her as the villain and killer, I guess?
I think she's very methodical. I think that she's very sadistic. I also feel like there's a backstory there, but I'm probably never going to watch it, so I will never know. I also feel like there's just something dark about the fact that if you smoke out of this thing, even if it's just one time, she can pull you into her realm and get you killed.
Yeah.
So that's a little off-putting. I definitely wouldn't rate her really high with the killers, just because she really didn't even do the killing. The strippers did it for her and whatnot. I mean, she commanded it,
yeah,
but she didn't really do anything.
I mean, well, she is a piece of glass.
Yeah, but they could have done something.
Yeah.
But anyways, pupils. So I will have to say, I mean, normally we give it knives, but I will have to say it's about 2 out of 10 bongs.
Wait, for the movie itself? Or
yeah,
for, okay.
For the scariness for the movie.
Okay, so you're right. Oh, we're rating it pretty early here. So you're going to give it 2 out of 10 bong packs? Okay. Yeah, I mean, we're still going to get a lot more discussion out of it. But, I'd probably go like 2 or 3 myself. I'd say, yeah, I'd go like a 3 maybe. Because it's very low-level content. Like, it's a good movie, but it's like...
For like Evie as the rank of a killer as well, I would give her like 3 bonkers.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll actually rate the movie later. Yeah. But you would rate the killer 3 out of 10. Okay.
Yeah, because... She's not really scary. She's just kind of there.
Yeah.
And honestly, the most lines that she has is when she's with Tommy Chong.
Yeah, because and that's when you kind of get into and she gets interesting, too. And let's talk about that because Tommy Chong's appearance in this movie is even listed as an extended cameo, yet he's on the cover of the DVD and he's the title name. Obviously, he's the most famous guy in this movie, so that makes sense. But what do you think of his? What do you think of old Jimbo and what he brings to the movie? Because I thought it was fucking hilarious, but what do you think of
Everyone who knows me knows that I love Tommy Chong. He is my favorite out of all of those kind of people. I love him so much. I don't think anything he does will get old ever. And just the fact that he can just pop his head in and then come in and be the star.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
Like, he was taking a chainsaw to her. Like, and it was so funny, too, because when, like, he first sat in front of her, he almost smoked out of her.
Yeah, that's
And then
weird.
He's like, oh, wait, I'm not here to get high. I'm here to take you out, bitch. And he pulls out his hammer and starts to hit her and finds out she has a force field. And then he whips out a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Who whips out a chainsaw? Who brings a chainsaw with them? I didn't even see him bring it in with them. But he's such a great improv comedic actor. And honestly, he's probably the only person I know that could have an evil battle, a fight with an evil bomb.
Yeah, and that was
pull it off.
That was one of the more funner parts of the movie, too. And one of the parts I thought was cool, which completely unrealistic, by the way, which I guess you can't really expect realism in this. But when the bong exerts, like, this smoke, like, to get him high.
Oh, yeah, she starts lighting herself up.
Yeah, to, like, lure him in. And that's when he's like, yeah, I've been working on my tolerance, man. You're not going to get me. I've been working on my tolerance. And he says, I've been working on my tolerance, like, 15 times. At least.
Yeah, and then finally he passes out.
Yeah.
And he's like, guys, she got me, man.
You know, when he shows up in the strip club and they're like, what happened? He's like, she got me. that BC bun, that's good shit, man. But, I mean, his role, I take, like, it's a weed movie, so I'm not mad at Tommy Chong showing up. Like, he kind of had to be there. And
honestly, he was the star.
Yeah.
I mean, he showed up really late, but he was the star.
He was the star. Now, I'm a avid hip-hop fan, and which is, you don't see for a lot of direct DVD movies, but this actually did have a soundtrack.
And it was a good one.
Yeah, and you get, I mean, you had ICP, Twisted, you had Cypress Hill on there, with Cypress Hill, Cottonmouth Kings, and Cypress Hill, Be Real, all them, they're big weed heads.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can see why they would do this. And you even said, like, last week when we were watching it, like, the music kind of helps make the movie.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not even just hip-hop, but everything you hear, it's mm-hmm. like, it makes sense for what's going on.
And I will have to say, like, because they have, like, little, like, intros, like, back into the movie and whatnot, when it, like, goes to, like, blank.
Yeah.
I will have to say it felt more like a That 70s Show parody.
Yes, yeah.
And that kind of way, I feel like this would have done a lot better if it was a TV series. But honestly, I feel like it was too early in the horror to have it be a TV series. Because at that point... We really didn't have that many horror TV series. We did have Buffy, and we did have Angel.
But we're not where we are now.
We're not at the point where we are now.
Yeah, because now, I mean, dark TV has kind of taken over, right?
Exactly. People love dark TV now.
But, yeah, around 2006, that wasn't really the case.
No, it wasn't really popular.
No. Now, we were talking about this earlier, and this has kind of spanned like a franchise, right? And which is, it's crazy because nowadays with Marvel and all these other things.
Conjuring,
you have these cinematic universes. Godzilla vs. Kong just came out. That's the Monsterverse. You have all these cinematic universes, which is crazy, is one of the OG ones is the Evil Bong. Or not even the Evil, what's the, it's Full Moon, right? Is that what they're called?
It is called Full Moon Pictures, I believe.
Features.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they actually do have their own cinematic universe. Started off with The Puppet Master, which is actually an amazing movie, and we will go into that series at some point. But it was kind of the director's way of being like, let's have fun.
Yeah, and he put all his characters from his different parody spoofs, like dumb movies, all together. I mean, there's been seven Evil Bongs to date. In 2018 was Evil Bong 777. You've had a Ginger Dead Man versus Evil Bong. And in 2021, even, the Ginger Weed Man just came out. So this thing's still going. And this started in 2006. Well, you even, the Puppet Master was
before. Ginger Weed Man! Oh my goodness, guys, we're going to be doing that.
Oh,
I have to. We have to, guys, just for you. I love you so much. We're going to have to do it.
So, I mean, this thing's still, it's still, I mean, it's direct to well, I don't even know if direct to DVD is a thing anymore. It's probably on some streaming service.
It's actually on Tubi.
Tubi now.
And it's on Tubi.com as well. You don't have to download the app. If you do want to download the app, it is completely, totally, 100% free. I can tell you that myself, I've used it. It's a really good service. It's like Crackle, but like half the ads. There's not that many ads. There's about maybe like three every time it goes to an ad. Not, there's about like three ad sections, like
okay.
Three ads per.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
For a free thing, yeah, no, that's not too bad at all. So, but definitely check it out if you want. If it's not your cup of tea, we get it.
Yeah.
It's not everyone's cup of tea. Our aunt tried her hardest to watch it with us, and she couldn't do it. But also, you're talking to the two, or listening to the two people here that one of their favorite movies is Dude, Where's My Car?
Yeah, this kind of has those vibes.
Yeah, absolutely. Or stupid humor.
Yeah, sort of different little atmosphere. Now, we'll just keep going a little more here, obviously, because this is it's a different type of movie. This probably won't be our longest episode because there's not too much to nooks and crannies to do.
No, and we really, honestly, guys, I apologize. I really didn't do that much research on this one just because it wasn't supposed to be taken seriously, so I don't really take it seriously.
Yeah, and it's a fun episode. I don't know if there's much research to do. I mean, you kind of see what they did here and what they were going for.
Exactly,
like,
and
more.
The cinematography is, it's actually decent.
It's good. Absolutely. For what it is, it's absolutely decent. But we can't do an episode of this without talking about the kills. So what is your favorite kill? And whether it's one of the guys, her luring him into the strip club, or one of the evil boobs or something killing them when they're in the strip club, what is your favorite kind of menacing thing that the bonk does? So we'll say kill. What's your favorite kill?
I'm going to have to give that one to Brett.
Oh, the blowjob, because it circles back to what you were saying earlier about the girl with the shark teeth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it was that girl, right? Yeah, the baby girl.
No, she didn't have shark teeth. This is a different girl. The shark teeth was the second one.
No, oh,
this was Larnell.
This is the one that was nibbling like a
goat. This is the one that nibbles like a goat.
Okay.
Or nibbles like a piranha and baby goat. And I felt so bad for him. I really did. No one should ever have to lose their penis.
Yeah, we start to like him by then, too.
I know, and it's just like, oh, that guy's poor penis. Oh, poor Brett. But Jimbo ultimately ends up blowing everything up, and everyone goes back to normal except Brett.
Yeah, but he's the king of the bong now, so it works out for old Jimbo.
It does, and he gets his NASCARs back, and he's having a good time. He's in charge for a little bit, playing NASCARs on some strippers' boobies. He's doing good.
He's living his life.
Yeah. As far as lamest kill would go, I would have to say the grandfather.
Really?
He just got pushed off to the side. He didn't even get killed.
That was going
to
be my top kill. Was Larnell put having him push because I thought it was funny. He was like, shut the fuck up, grandpa. His grandpa was kind of a dick, so he's like, I've had it with this dude, and then they push him off the thing. That was going to be my favorite one.
I mean, it can be your favorite if it wants to. Everyone has an opinion.
Yeah. I thought that part was funny. Another scene I thought was hilarious was when Bachman's sitting there all stoned. This is right before he dies, and that girl, Luann, that was all horny over Brett later, like she's with her friends, and she grabs out of his sack, and she puts it in hers, and he's just sitting there. She's like, you don't mind, right? He's like,
she fills up an entire change first, yo.
Yeah.
One of those 2006, like, fluffy, like, Chia Pet, pink, frou-frou wallets, and she stuffs it full. And she's like, you don't mind, do you? He don't know.
He was just like,
it's not that he don't mind. He don't know. You don't know what you're doing. Like, I'm sure he would mind. But in her defense, he smokes so much that he doesn't know.
No, he doesn't know. Another scene we have to talk about, since you mentioned the grandpa. We got to talk about the grand entrance of Larnell's grandmother.
Oh my God, the step grandma.
And the whole scene.
Oh my God.
You know, when he was talking to the grandpa, and he said, he was like, I was hoping you'd get a big titted bimbo that I could bang on the side. And then he just looked at him, and everyone's like, dude. And then he's like, you're a young scumbag. Like, I forgot.
You're a useless animal.
Yeah. And it was so funny. And then they're expecting the hottest girl in the world. And then this little old lady just marches.
Oh, my God. She's so sweet, too. She's so cute. And they're like, would you like some tea? And she's just like, and just, like, goes to sleep on the couch. They're like, is she okay? And Grandpa's like, oh, she's a little fat. We went at it earlier. Like, ew.
Yeah, we went for a go.
Honestly, it didn't need to be in there at all, but it was hilarious, so it was okay.
I'm going to change my favorite kill.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to say, it's not what they did to Larnell once he got to the strip club, but the scene of the evil bong luring Larnell in with the nighttime, But even just, like, it's funny, but the cool factor, him smoking the joint and in the nighttime and there's, like, fog kind of around him and then glow-in-the-dark balls, like, talking to him, like, come here. And it's, like, it's a cool scene. Like, it's shot really well. Like,
it is really cool. It is really, really, really cool, but it is also really, really, really funny.
Yeah,
he's like, come here, Darnell, and he's like, I'm coming hard.
Yeah, he's like, I'm coming hard. So that was one of the best lines. But, yeah, I mean, that part
there's
was
a lot awesome. Of good one-liners in this movie, I will have to say.
Yeah, that's what this movie is. Monkey, obviously. Monkey! There's a lot about this movie that's hilarious. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on before we give, like, final ratings and stuff?
Well, I will have to say, even though I hate movies that have the It Was All a Dream sequence, this movie kind of had that, but it didn't. Because, like, if they didn't destroy the bong, I don't think the people would have gotten out of it. But when they destroyed the bong and everyone's coming up and whatnot, I love Bachman. Bachman was thrown downstairs by the dumpster underneath a mattress because they thought he was dead. This boy wakes up, comes up the stairs, goes into the door and goes, guys, I was downstairs by the dumpster under a couch. There must have been some party we had.
Yeah.
He didn't even know. Everyone else was like, well, that was really scary. Can't believe that happened. He thought he was asleep.
Yeah,
he thought he was having a party. He didn't know.
Yeah.
He woke up and he's like, whoa. I thought I was sleeping. And I honestly feel like if they tried to explain it to him, he probably wouldn't get it.
And another scene that, I mean, I don't want to get too into editorial errors, but you said something with the bowl earlier, so I'll bring this up. At the end, when Alistair's like, Jimbo, it's a hero's demise. Like, he risks his life for us. And everyone in the room's like, yeah, good for Jimbo. No one fucking met Jimbo but Alistair. Everyone was dead by the time.
And the girl.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's an off chance they saw him in the strip club, like their corpses, I guess. But they were gone.
Yeah,
And Jim showed up. So how the fuck do you know who this guy is?
Also, I got to throw it back real quick to Alistair. Alistair's from one of my most treasured favorite lines that I love forever.
Oh, yeah.
When they found out that Bachman was dead, this dude goes, oh, my God, he is expired. Are you kidding me? He is expired? What is he, a package of meat? Is he bacon? Because the last time I saw his name was Bachman, not bacon. As long as he expired. But yeah, so I defend touch on that, people.
He's expired. Now, let's get this movie a rating. This is 86 minutes of entertainment. We talked a good length about the story and the plot and the kills. You said what you would rank the killer itself, but as far as the movie is a cinematic experience, it's something you sit down and watch. How many lighters would you give this out of 10?
About four.
Four lighters?
Mm-hmm. Because it's not, like, amazing, but it's also not, like, okay, like we were talking about earlier. It's not, like, okay, but it's, like, it's quirky. And if you are into that or you're okay with that kind of lifestyle or whatnot, you're going to enjoy it. It's going to be a nice laugh for you. Do not watch this with your children.
No. Keep the kiddies away from
this. This is not a kid movie. I know a lot of parents are like, oh, horror comedy. That would be great for the kids. No. Not this one.
I see the demographic, depending on what they make it legal, like if it's 21, I don't know, but I'd say 18 to 24, you'll enjoy this. 18
Absolutely.
To 26, maybe.
Yeah.
So kind of frat life growing up, you know, not expecting too much, but a couple laughs. I think this will do it. I'm going to go 4 out of 10, too.
Okay.
That's the type of movie I saw this as. Besides that, I mean, this was really fun to talk about. We sparked the conversation and had a chronic debate. It was fire. So that's about all the puns I have. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we bless right off into the sunset, Mindy?
I'm going to say we're good. The only thing I'm going to say is, ladies, if you get so amped up, you can be on a pogo stick, good for you.
For you.
You are living your best life, sweetheart. You ride that pogo stick, girl. You do it. And that is all I'm going to say now. Good night, guys.
All right. On that note, make sure to check in with us next week for Final Destination 3.
Yes, it's going to be a good one. This is actually one of Daniel's favorites.
Oh, yeah. That'll probably be a bit longer. We'll have a lot to touch on that because we've been talking about that for 10 years. So we got a lot to talk about with that movie.
Kind of going to be like a screen conversation.
Yeah, that's legit one of my favorites, and I know you enjoy it too, right? Like, you like that movie.
I mean, I hated the Final Destinations when they first started to come out because I'm a really clumsy, accident-prone person.
Yeah.
So a lot of the things that's happened in those movies, I can see happening to myself.
Yeah.
So it was uncomfortable at first, but then I was able to get myself in the mindset of, dude, it's just a movie.
Yeah, that's what makes it scary and good, too. Right?
Exactly. Like, it really did scare me. And that's what made it so intriguing to me. That's why I kept going back to it.
Yeah.
Like, even though I was turning it off, I still kept on going back.
Right.
And that was why, because it was intriguing. But we'll get more on that next week. Tune in then. I think you guys are really, really going to love it.
Absolutely. And for our Scaredy Cats family, we will see you and get scared with you next week.
Hootie-hoo!
Hootie-hoo.
Take a little walk to the edge of town and go across the track. as the secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, across the mills, across the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.